Support for WVIK comes from Kathleen Collins Counseling in Bettendorf, helping to recognize places in one's life where more balance is needed while offering the tools to help achieve a deeper meaning and purpose. More information is at KathleenCollinsCounseling.com.
You're listening to Heartland Politics with Robin Johnson, a presentation of WVIK, Quad Cities, NPR.
Hi, everybody, and welcome back to the Heartland Politics show and podcast, which is aired on and distributed by WVIK Quad Cities NPR. WVIK is the flag public radio station in the Quad Cities region of eastern Iowa and northwestern Illinois. I'm your host, Robin Johnson, and, you know, it's always an honor to have acting governor of any state be your guest, and it's especially an honor to have the guest of one of our two neighboring states here, Illinois and Iowa, on. And Governor Pritzker, J.B. Pritzker from Illinois, is with me today. And making it even better is the fact that we're going to be airing this over July 4th weekend and celebrating our 250th birthday. So, Governor, thank you so much for taking the time.
Thanks. Great to be with you, Robin, and happy birthday to America.
That's right. Be a pretty big cake, but we won't worry about that today. Hey, I'd like to start off by asking folks running for office just what motivated them to run. You've served two terms as Illinois governor. It's not easy in this day and age to be a public servant at any level. What was your thought process and what really motivated you to seek a third term?
You know, it's a great question because the same things that motivated me when I ran the first time around really continue to keep me engaged, and it's why I want to continue to do the job. We have a lot of challenges in the state of Illinois. And when I took over, as you know, we had 21 straight credit downgrades for the state for the last 25 years before that, and we had $17 billion of unpaid bills, paying 12% interest on those unpaid bills. We had not balanced the budget in the state for decades. And so that was just an enormous challenge I walked into. So many people that I knew in business and elsewhere said to me when I was a candidate, you know, you may not really want to be governor of Illinois because you're inheriting that problem and you may have to go to the Congress and ask for the right to declare bankruptcy. And I thought, oh, man, you know, we need to restore people's faith in our state for sure. So when I took office, I had all of that and then the job of rebuilding the government because we really had our government hollowed out, you know, so many things, including our child welfare agency, the DCFS, we call it, and so many other issues in the Department of Human Services and Healthcare and Family Services. So took on all of that when I came into office. And frankly, we've been very fortunate and really overcome so many of those problems. Just to give you an example, over the last 7.5 years, we've gotten 10 straight credit upgrades for the state. We've balanced the budget every single year, reduced the structural deficit of the state. We've attracted businesses and created jobs, and done that, you know, through four major crises that I could identify, and we're still in one of them. But when I took office, it was just balancing the budget, which hadn't been done in so long, and the budget crisis still going on. And then, of course, COVID. And then we had the migrant crisis where we had the governor of Texas sending tens of thousands of migrants to this country to Illinois, you know, an unexpected thing. They weren't even planning to come to Illinois, but they were sent here. And then I guess I would say, you know, the crisis we're currently in now, which is the dealing with the big, ugly bill that was passed, dealing with the onslaught of CBP and ICE attacking people in our cities and really all across Illinois. And of course, the president of the United States just constantly attacking the city of Chicago and the state of Illinois for no particular reason. I think we just live rent-free in his head all the time. So when I think about why did I want to run for re-election, it's because honestly, we have those challenges that we've overcome, we still have more that we need to do. An example is when I took office, our pension system was only about 39 or 40% funded. I've now got it all the way back up to about 50%. It's good progress. It takes a long time to make progress when in a pension funded situation. And we've done a lot, but there's more to do. And so we've had real success, and I want to continue that for another 4 years. I think we can, and we can overcome the budget challenges that the president has foisted upon the states, including the state of Illinois.
Speaking of budgets, the legislative session just ended about a month ago in Illinois, and it's hard because of all the uncertainty around the globe with wars going on and tariffs. It's got to be hard to budget in this atmosphere. But what were your key, I guess, takeaways from this budget session and from the legislative session on your agenda on moving Illinois forward? What were some successes? What were things kind of left on the table a little bit?
Yeah, well, as you know, people are suffering all across the country from high prices and unaffordability. Probably the number one thing is housing, the cost of housing for people. Forget buying a home, just rent is too high. But buying a home has also become, impossible for many people. And as you may have heard the statistic that, it used to be that the average age of a first-time home buyer was about 30 years old. Now we're at 40 years old because it's so difficult to buy a home now. So that challenge is one of the big ones that we have begun to address. I put forward a comprehensive plan. We got about a third of that plan passed by the legislature so far, but I'm not giving up. I don't give up easy. We also passed laws that will lower the price of health insurance, of homeowners insurance, of auto insurance. There was a proposed increase in homeowners insurance in the state of Illinois about a year ago by one of our big insurance companies, 27% increase in 1 year. I demanded that they explain themselves, and they wouldn't. And we didn't have a law that would require them to. And so we passed a law that requires them to, and I think it will inhibit companies from making those kinds of massive increases in premiums. And then, of course, we've eliminated junk fees in the state. So, when you buy tickets to a concert or to a live performance of any sort, when you rent a hotel room, they're often, when you get the bill for it, there's a fee you didn't know was going to be there. Sometimes they call it a convenience fee. Sometimes it's called something else. But we banned that. No more hidden fees for people. So those are just examples. But we made real progress in really a whole bunch of areas to lower costs for people. The real challenge, honestly, is that the federal government is not being a partner to states. And they've really just gotten out of the business of caring whether your people are succeeding or not. And they've left us to try to figure out how are we going to fill a $7 billion hole for health insurance that people are going to lose because of the big ugly bill that they passed. And, how are we going to manage the 120,000 people who are losing SNAP benefits? These are the, food assistance that, frankly, people are not defrauding the government to get $55 of food per week. That's just not happening. If there are people doing it, that show us the evidence, because there really isn't much at all. And yet they're throwing 120,000 people in my state off of SNAP assistance. So, filling those holes, trying to deal with it, frankly, no state can fill the hole. We can do our best to try to mitigate the damage that's being done. But, we're fighters. We're resilient in the state of Illinois. We believe, and across the Midwest, frankly, we know how to take care of one another. We're going to continue to make that progress. We did in the legislature in this spring. And then I guess, some things that I wish we had gotten done that we didn't get done. Oh, I should mention, by the way, among the successes that we banned cell phones in classrooms. Yes, and we also
Thank you, Alex.
You know what? I'm really grateful. It took us two sessions to get that done, so more than a year. But I'm very pleased that we did. We also passed the best and most secure AI bill in the entire country, where we're requiring that the AI companies have to have a plan in case the AI gets out of control, that in order to shut it down. The same thing with, we have third-party audits now for the algorithms so that we can make sure that these things don't get out of control. And then I also should mention the Children's Social Media Safety Act, which gives parents much more control over their kids' access to social media. It also is a way for us to mitigate, you know, kids get online and they don't realize that they're being charged to do things in apps, and their parents' credit card might be on it, and then all of a sudden a parent ends up with a big bill. So we prohibited the use of that for kids without the parents' express permission. So that's an example within that law. Those are things we accomplished. I think, you know, the federal government, on one of the things I wish we had accomplished, the federal government actually has a law that they just passed, a bill in the Senate and the House on housing. And it has some really good provisions in it that are focused on removing some of the bureaucratic barriers that cost individuals and developers so much money when they're trying to just add maybe an additional home on their property, or maybe just put a four flat up on a piece of property. And so we had a bill here in Illinois that would do some of that. The federal government has a bill that's now the president's refusing to sign it, even though it's totally bipartisan. I mean, it was passed with overwhelming majorities. I haven't heard of much of anything recently that's passed with those kinds of majorities, and yet the president's holding it hostage. But we weren't able to get our pieces that I wanted to get done, the two-thirds of the housing proposal that I made. But I'm going to keep at it, and we're going to get it done next year.
I've heard this from mayors, friends of mine, and I'll just pass along. And I'm a former city official, so I'm a little sensitive to this, too. The claim was that this bill was going to usurp local authority on zoning, where any kind of house could be put anywhere. I'd like you to address that, if you would, Clark, please.
Thank you. I think that that's completely false, and I think that there were people who wanted to kill the bill because they don't want any change at all to occur. Here's what we were doing, and here's what the bill would have allowed. It basically said that on a given size piece of property, and I don't have the numbers in front of me, but where you currently have the ability only to build one single home, if there is a homeowner that wants to turn that one home into, for example, a duplex, because you might want to have your own parents, your elderly parents, move in, but they might want their own lock and key on their own part of that house. And so you turn that home into a duplex. Well, you can't do that in most places, actually, across the state of Illinois. It's kind of, these are old rules that are left over, sometimes from redlining, and really bad old years when, you know, people wanted to keep people who didn't look like them out of their neighborhoods. I don't think it's intentional now that way, but that's just written into the code in many places. Another example, and they were saying, by the way, that I wanted to, you know, build condo buildings next to single family homes and blocks that only have single family homes. That's not true at all. What we're trying to do is just add an abode, a place to live in each neighborhood. It's really, if we could add, we'd need about 230,000 new homes between now and 2030. And I don't, you know, there's no really easy way to do that. The best way to do that is, how about one home here and there? And we could do that, and we could get 100,000+ new homes just that way. I'd like to have, you know, more developed properties, you know, where maybe there will be in some areas that where it's allowed, you know, a condo building or something else. But what I was trying to do was just expand the available housing, like above your garage. Many people have an apartment above their garage that they can't rent or sell because, you know, local zoning prohibits that. Meanwhile, we're not prohibiting local ordinances to rein in any abuses. For example, setbacks, the height of a home. You know, you can't build something that's higher than whatever the local regulation says. That's, we're not usurping that at all. The setbacks are again from the road. Same thing. The local zoning, local authorities can make those decisions. So, I think there was a lot of hype around those who wanted to oppose the bill. And we're going to keep working on it because we want to make sure that we have the ability to build homes and that people who own a property have the right to do on their property the very minimum thing that you could expect to do, which is use a building, a facility that's on your own property to make it livable for somebody to move into.
You're listening to Heartland Politics on WVIK, Quad Cities NPR. This is your host, Robin Johnson, and I'm honored to have as my guest Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker. We've been talking a little bit about his reasons for seeking a third term. He's on the ballot here coming up in November. A little bit of his thoughts on the budget and the legislative session, what was accomplished, what wasn't. We've been talking extensive talk, and thank you for clarifying that on the housing issue in Illinois. I was going to say it's kind of halftime in our interview to lead up to the next topic here, which I purposely pushed to the second half of the interview, and that's the Chicago Bears, my beloved Chicago Bears. As most of our listeners are aware, the Bears were seeking help, I think is the right word, in building a new stadium. And they're threatening to go to Indiana. And you've just described people are hurting out there. What's your thoughts on this? Are they going to stay in Illinois? Are they going to stay in Chicago? How does it look?
Well, I'm very hopeful that they will stay in the state of Illinois. You called them your beloved Chicago Bears. Mine too. I'm a Bears fan, and I don't want them to go anywhere else. And, you know, we've put the equity into that team over the years, all of us fans, you know, we're the ones who made them great. And you know, I think they owe it to us to stay in the state. I understand they're a private business. They will make decisions that, you know, will give them the most profitability probably. But I also think they should take into account that we're the ones who made them a great team and valuable. Now, it's a $9 billion valued team owned by a private family. I don't begrudge them at all their right to build something that's more profitable, to expand their business. Indeed, I encourage that, and we have created a lot of opportunities for business in Illinois to do that. And that's why we, are willing to do the things for them that we do for other businesses. And that's what I've said to the Bears. And they're glad of that. For example, we'll build infrastructure that they need. Roads. These are things we do for businesses all the time. Make sure that the roads are good for people to get to the stadium. We'll, you know, build the underground infrastructure that they need and help them get hooked up to all of the various utilities that they need. And that's hundreds of millions of dollars. So it's not like we're not providing them with real incentives. What I won't do is build them a $2 billion stadium. I'm not going to go borrow a bunch of money the way it was done 30 years ago with Soldier Field, where we're going to buy them a stadium and then they get all the benefit and the taxpayers have to pay for the stadium. That just doesn't seem right to me, and especially these days when we've got so many challenges. And so, but again, I am working with them. I have talked to them many, many times, even since the end of the session, to make sure that we are moving them in the right direction and that we can do for them, you know, whatever it is that we can. So I'm hopeful. I am. And I also think that the opportunity for them to move to Indiana isn't really what they want. They want to be in Arlington Heights. They bought a piece of property in Arlington Heights several years ago, I'm sure, with the goal of building the stadium there. And so we're going to try to make that possible for them. But they've got to help us. They really did all kinds of things during the legislative session that made it hard to get something done in the legislature, like first saying that, you know, they were only going to move to Arlington Heights or Indiana, and then later talking to Chicago, which made the Chicago legislators say, well, wait a minute, why should I vote for something where they might move to Arlington Heights if they, you know, we could get them in Chicago? By the way, I want them in Chicago. Let's hope they do come to Chicago. They themselves have said that they can't find a piece of property to build the stadium on that would work, where they wouldn't end up in a bunch of lawsuits or end up, you know, costing them a fortune. So I really think we can get them to Arlington Heights. Stay in Illinois is my number one, isn't my number one entreaty to them. And if they want to be in Arlington Heights, let's help them.
I want to almost get back a little bit to economic issues and specifically downstate. And I, you know, you and I talked about this in previous interviews. There's just, you know, a lot of these downstate rural counties are hurting population loss in this region. Most all these counties have been losing population. Manufacturing hollowed out. That was a major source of jobs. You talked about the major crises you faced. I would add another one, the fallout still from the Great Recession. You know, in 2009, a lot of these areas are still feeling that. What's your message, I guess, to downstate residents that, you know, are facing these challenges, losing population, the young kids are moving to big cities? What can we do? What have you done? What are your thoughts on helping them out a little bit?
Jobs, jobs, jobs. Let's start with that. You know, that I've worked very hard to attract businesses to the state, and indeed many of them have gone to places that are outside of the Chicagoland area. And I'm proud of that. I mean, and we've encouraged the creation of businesses or the building up of businesses. You know, I had to go when I came into office. Remember, I was in business before I became governor. So when I showed up, you know, I said, okay, I'm going to start working with the economic development folks in state government because this is an area where I can really be of help. And it turned out there wasn't any. I mean, literally, what got left behind from my predecessor was nothing. And so we had to start. And then as I started to build it, COVID hit. You know, not a great time for you to try to build up businesses or attract businesses to the state. But when COVID was subsiding, we built something that, you know, I call Team Illinois. And it's now we have something called the Illinois Economic Development Corporation. And I went to the legislature. We got real incentives put in place so that we could be competitive with surrounding states and states all over the country in attracting these companies. Because, you know, when they knock on our door and they say to us, you know, can you help us with this and that and the other thing and the other thing? And those are things, by the way, many of them are things that we're very good at. I say the three P's, you know, we have power in our state. We're actually a net electricity exporter. We could talk about electric prices because those have gone through the roof, but it's not because of what we're doing in Illinois. And we could talk again about that. But power, people, and place. We've got skilled labor better than any other state, honestly. And we've got 48 community colleges. We're the third largest community college system in the country. We have great programs and great universities here. And so companies want our people. And then place. What I mean by place is transportation, you know, shipping your goods. We are the only state in the country that has all the Class 1 railroads running through our state. We also have, because of the infrastructure bill I got passed in 2019, we have some of the best roads and bridges, and we're continuing to build, and the airports and the water ports, and we are making real investments in infrastructure that will last lifetimes. And I'm proud of all that. So for downstate residents, it's been really important to me to focus on building up our education, skilled labor, making sure that we're attracting manufacturing and building up our agriculture industries, including food processing. I just came from the expansion of the Inco Brasa facility, which is a soybean crushing facility in Gilbert, Illinois. And then I was in Decatur just later that day, actually, with the expansion of ADM. They're putting $100 million into new facilities there, and they are building a new business in Decatur. And that's been very important to me because I know that downstate Illinois, that places outside of the city of Chicago have been forgotten by Democrats and Republicans alike. The governors of the state have forgotten downstate. I have not. I really believe, even though, you know, people would say, well, gee, you didn't get a lot of votes in this place or that place in rural Illinois. You know what? After the elections are over, you know, the day after, you represent, in fact, every day, you represent everybody in the state, you know, even the people who didn't vote for you, and especially folks who've been left out and left behind. So my job here is to make sure we're building up the educational resources, building up the jobs that are available across the entire state of Illinois, and making sure that we've got people who see Illinois in a positive way and want to move here. And I would point out that we now have population increasing across Illinois. Not everywhere. It's absolutely true that across the country, you've seen that rural communities have had people moving toward the cities. I think that's a trend that's happened a whole lot over the course of my life. That doesn't mean that we can't work really hard to make sure that we're creating jobs in places where they weren't existing before. I'll give you one other example, Walker's Bluff Casino, which is down in Southern Illinois, is a tourist destination for people because we authorized the creation of a casino there. It's a beautiful resort, but also a casino. And that's just one example. I've worked hard to try to find ways to bring jobs. And that's, you know, something that I'll continue to work on in my third term.
I've got time for one more question, about 2 minutes here. And I'm sorry for putting boxing you in, but if you could keep it within a couple minutes. The data centers, a big issue across the country. You mentioned AI earlier. It seems like this big wave is coming, and a lot of people really don't have, I think, understand it, the average person, a lot, and there's resistance to this. And you talked about some regulations that were passed. It sounds like much needed, but on these data centers, you know, they're a source of maybe some jobs and all. What's your thoughts? Are we going to, is Illinois welcome, putting out the welcome mat for them? Or is there kind of weight, you know, the power demands, water demands?
Well, I can tell you this, that we can't continue to have data centers coming here, using our water, using our power, and increasing people's utility rates. So my solution to that is they should pay for it. They should bring their own power. They should have closed loop recycled water systems. And we should require that for new data centers. Now, the legislature didn't get to pass what's called the Power Act, where that would take place. And so just after the end of the legislative session, I suspended any tax credits that would otherwise go to a data center, because we've got to take a pause here and make sure the legislature is going to pass something that's going to deal with the problems, water, power, and noise. You know, that's been a problem in some areas too. Now, I will say that if we could figure those things out, I'm not saying that they have figured it out and that we're done with it, but if we could figure it out, and I think we could, the result is kind of two positive things that can occur. One is lowering people's property taxes, because those data centers, even though they don't employ a whole lot of people every day and every year, they do, by the way, allow lots of construction jobs that take place, but that's only while you're building the facility. But they pay a lot of the property taxes. And we've seen counties where property taxes have gone down as a result of these data centers moving in. Again, I'm not saying that we should do it without all the other regulations we just talked about, but that's one thing. The other is that these data centers should be contributors to the community. These are big companies. These are wealthy companies, and they should be contributors to the well-being of the people that they're neighbors to. And I don't think they understand that yet, and we've got to make that clear to them. So those are a couple examples anyway of what we ought to be doing with data centers. But we just can't have them coming here. We have water. We have power in this state. They want to come here. I know that. They want to come here. But we don't want them if they're going to take advantage of us.
Governor J.B. Pritzker, seeking his third term as governor of the state of Illinois, has been my guest today on Heartland Politics. I'm so appreciative of you taking the time. I know you're campaigning, but also doing your job. It's a busy weekend, and I really appreciate you taking the time.
Thanks, Robin. Great to talk to you, and happy 4th of July to everyone.